Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on in this crazy, crazy world. So welcome to the 568th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into having the proper tools to get her done. And by that, I mean to get the job done. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. So I hope you stay tuned to the 568th edition of SDG, which we've titled 2022 Endgame Update number 32. And we're going to learn how we can do incredible things for God's kingdom, even in these horrible times, provided we are properly equipped for the job at hand. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And like I say every week, folks, remember how it all started. And how did it start, folks? Well, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, let's look at something from a past episode. Now, last week, what we did is we looked at what the imposter-in-chief, Joe Biden, did on his Thursday night, what they're now calling the Red Speech. And Biden essentially declared war on half or more of the entire United States of America. He basically said that all of us who supported President Trump in the 2020 election are terrorists, are enemies of the state. Let's have a re-listen to that.
And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country.
So there you have it, folks. And with everything that's happened this past week, I mean, what do we have? We have a Breitbart leader, just forgot his name, you know, he was arrested in New York and he's up on charges that he was pardoned for. Then I think it was 35
conservatives were rated by the FBI, then 50 rated by the FBI. This is all happening right now live. The day after Biden did this, though, there must have been some pushback because he had an about face the day later and said, I didn't mean to say that. But then just 3 days after that, at a Labor Day rally in Henry Meyer Festival Park up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he was delivering Labor Day remarks. And what did he do again? Well, let's have a listen.
I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican is a MAGA Republican. Not every Republican embraces that extreme ideology. I know because I've been able to work with mainstream Republicans my whole career. But the extreme MAGA Republicans in Congress have chosen to go backwards, full of anger, violence, hate, and division. But together, we can and we must choose a different path. Forward. No, I really mean it. We have to. A future of unity, of hope, of optimism. We're going to choose to build a better America. A better America.
That's right, Gomer. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know, this was a labor fest, but the crowd size wasn't that impressive. The labor unions could barely fill the stands, folks. Now, the sad thing about this is that this is how Hitler came to power. And if people can't see it, we're in a very bad place. You know, folks, you can't change the spots on a leopard. Once a leopard, always a leopard. And Joe Biden is a radical. Joe Biden is a puppet for the Chinese Communist Party. And those that scream at their critics, like he's doing against the America First conservative Americans, which is the largest demographic in this country, those who scream against that are the real danger. It's really that simple. Yet sadly today, there's this mental illness that's gone amok, just completely haywire in the Democratic Party. You know, when I grew up, our family was the JFK type Democratic family. My grandparents had pictures of JFK on the walls. We had the little copper busts of JFK. I remember when we went to Washington, D.C., we went to the Wax Museum, and it was just such an honor to get to see the wax figure of Jackie Onassis Kennedy and JFK. And sadly, our family had to leave that party. And the reason is that finally, true motives are on full display. And it was a process. Most of my family got out of it, but not all of them. I still have a couple that are drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak. But anyways, it's on full display now, and everyone with eyes to see and ears to hear actually know who they are. But you know what the true irony is here, folks? The woke liberal mascot of this entire travesty of what the media is calling an administration, the imposter in chief, you know, the sock puppet, Brandon, he's a true racist at heart. Did you know he never apologized for calling blacks animals? Did you know he did that? And he even used the N-word on the Senate floor. Yet this was all buried by the puppets in the media, never to see the light of day again. And why? Because they have an agenda. They're advancing a neo-Marxist communist agenda being driven by the World Economic Forum. And if we don't stand up and stop this, it's over, folks. You know, if they were truly genuine in their quest to point out behavior, these talking heads would have hounded Biden on having a grand cyclops of the KKK as his mentor in the Senate. Did you know that, folks? But that's never going to happen. It won't. Because if every Democrat was exposed for all the sickness that they do, from racism to pedophilia to all of the money laundering that's going on in Ukraine, the party would literally self-implode. You know, more on that later, provided the Lord's willing. But right now, we've got to keep moving. And it's time, folks, to get started with Sister Kathy and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And they were all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies and mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, black on it, pandemic. The coronavirus heist, it's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know that all their lies and mind control.
Okay, so I've done my sound checks. We still have good audio, and I'm going to run some of these little bumper clips a little longer as I do checks on the system, folks. But let's get started with our SADS update, sudden adult death syndrome. Now, this 21-year-old football player from Arkansas, another young athlete, dies. Senior defensive lineman Clark Yarborough, 21, died last Sunday after a sudden collapse at Ouachita Baptist University in Arkansas. And what's the cause of death, folks? What is the cause of death? Well, the cause of death is unknown.
What? What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. The slab jab claims another life. I mean, this stuff, you can't make it up, and it's so tragic, and it's so sad. This 21-year-old man, gone. The body count's really piling up now rather quickly, folks, and we all know why. Bottom line, this is out of control, and it's insane. This insane push for boosters, it must stop, but it won't. In fact, Castro's son up in Canada, the poster child for the World Economic Forum's indoctrination by Western leaders, you know, Justin Trudeau, he is Canadian. If he doesn't see a 90% compliance in this fall's booster jab, he's getting locked down again.
Really?
And that's because most of these Western leaders are literally, and I'm not making this up, they are literally in the back pocket of Klaus Schwab. And I've played this clip several times, and what I'd like to do is play it again for you. So I'm calling up this clip from Schwab admitting that through his 2017 Young Global Leaders talk, he's got most of them in his back pocket. Let's have a listen.
When I mention our names, like Mrs. Merkel, Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Trudeau, and I would know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, with a young global leader, but what is important?
Folks, there's no science here whatsoever regarding the entire scamdemic. That's all coming out. There's no science here with the economics. There's no strategic things happening with all of these sanctions against Russia. They're all individual cogs in the wheel of this great reset. And how's it being facilitated? By mass formation psychosis and mind control in America. Remember we played the Stephen Jacobson mind control in America clip? Well, I'd like to revisit that. Now, the original clip we played was about 8 minutes, 8.5 minutes long. I'm just going to, you know, play it, and we'll see how far I play. I'm not sure. I just want to remind everybody that this is a systematic kabuki theater beyond anything that I think anyone could have ever imagined. And it's being facilitated in one key element by mind control.
The basic problem is that we are living in a virtual reality. We're living in a totally controlled environment, an environment that has been created by mass media. Now, many people, especially young people, accept unquestioningly the reality that is presented by the media. Popular culture, movies, television, music, carry messages about how society works and how people should behave. And so entertainment is not value-free. It has ideological content. It presents a worldview that influences the people who watch the programming. There is a reason why television networks and the music industry, the various companies, they have programming departments. The programming that we are constantly assaulted by throughout our life conditions us, it programs us to a particular worldview. Now, we may consider it normal because we were born into this system of lies and deception. In fact, deception has become part of the social framework of society. And because we were born into this situation and our parents were born into it and have suffered from it, we don't know any better. And so we don't necessarily see things as they are. We see things as we are. Now, there are two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled. One is very simple, very basic, and that is simply the control of information and the control of if we don't have all of the facts on any particular topic, then our judgment is going to be no better than the quality of our information. And in spite of the fact that we have an information overload through all the information that's available on the internet and other sources, we have to have the presence of mind to be able to evaluate the information that we have available. And it's a matter of having to dig through and determine what's true, what are the lies, what are the half-truths, under that one basic heading, information control, where there has been a long-held consolidation of ownership of the different medias, press, publishing, film, music, television, consolidated ownership into the hands of very few individuals, the multinational corporations. Today, there are a half a dozen multinational corporations that are controlling the information and entertainment choices that people have. Working as an editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through editing. And so I was very well aware of how plastic and moldable media reality was. But I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated and controlled by media, including those people who work in it. Using television as the prime example of how mental programming and mind control works, television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And yet, television, for many people, is a member of the family in the household.
It's the primary member.
Yes.
It runs the household.
Yes, well, not only that, but it's the primary source of information, and the television, in effect, represents an altar, a religious altar that the nation is worshiping before. Many people don't think about the things that affect them subconsciously, because generally they don't know what to look for until someone comes around and starts pointing these things out to them, and then they can see how we are all influenced by unseen forces without our conscious awareness. In fact, the ultimate control is to control people without their conscious awareness. Again, television is a prime example. Think back to whenever you have observed young children or older adults sitting, watching television. They have this glassy-eyed, vacant look in their eyes because they are in a trance state, in a hypnotic state of mind. This is very important, very significant, that the medium of television has the capacity to do this, and it doesn't matter what you're watching. The flickering effect of the television image, although it appears to be static and stationary, it is actually flickering. We don't see it consciously, but subconsciously, the repeating visual pattern of the flicker induces the trance state. And that's the basic principle behind hypnotic programming, is that you get the subject to focus the attention of the conscious mind on one of the five senses. So in the case of watching television, we're talking about the sense of sight and the flickering image. In the case of sound, any repeating sound pattern will induce the trance state. Now, why this is important is that we are more suggestible to mental programming during this state of mind than at any other time. We're very vulnerable to manipulation at this time, because the first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind that is favorable to the reception of their message. And that state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind, making television extremely important in this whole process of creating a unified mindset among the entire population. Have you ever bought something and then later on wondered why did you buy it? I think we've all had that kind of experience.
Quite a few times.
Well, that's a common everyday illustration of being triggered to make a purchase based on a conditioned response that has been built into us to have a preference for a particular product. In fact, that is the whole point of programming, whether it be by an advertiser or a propagandist. There's really no difference between the two. One's selling products, the other is selling ideas. The whole point is to build into us a conditioned response where we will respond automatically without thinking with a preference for a particular idea or preference for a particular product. And that is the whole point of programming. If you think about it, whenever you hear news broadcasters speak, you realize that regardless of their ethnic background, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental, they all have a similar manner of speaking. They have a speech pattern that is associated with the dissemination of true factual information on the news broadcast. Their speech pattern is similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist. The news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer. Another hypnotic technique.
Mm-hmm.
The newscaster is an authority figure, encouraging the acceptance of the information.
Yes.
People will accept information that comes from an accepted and respected authority. And then the repetition of the information over and over and over again is what builds that conditioned response, so that whenever they are presented with the information again, then they'll accept it automatically without thinking about it.
Do you think that the media is complicit in sort of the mind control aspect? Do you think that they are, because I'm a firm believer that the media is completely controlled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's my feeling as well, in my experience, that the media has become the fourth branch of government.
Folks, I played the entire clip. I forgot that was an interview. I thought it was an excerpt from his classic Mind Control in America. No, that was an interview done years later, and he is right on, folks. Now, there's a great statistical report out on the ethical skeptic. It's titled, Houston, We Have a Problem. And I recommend that all of you who are awake and want to wake up your friends and family and everybody in your sphere of influence, I recommend that you read it, double down, and make copies of it. Because what it does is it shows the dangers of the clot shot. And it contains factual evidence that may be able to break this spell that is upon everybody by this mind control. And it shows a dramatic spike in non-COVID deaths and a significant spike in severe illnesses that began March 2021 when the COVID vaccines became widely available. This report's charting this stark post-COVID death rise in week 14 of 2021. Excess non-COVID natural causes up by plus 5 sigma. Cancer and lymphomas up by 9 plus sigma. And other respiratory conditions, 2 sigma. Nephrotic and nephritic syndrome, 4 sigma. Septicemia, 2 sigma. Heart disease and other heart-related issues, 2 sigma. And other natural unknown causes of death, you know, this sudden death, the sudden adult syndrome, 4 sigma. Folks, we need to break this brainwashing spell, and that's my point right here. Now, there's another clip that I'd like to play for you, and it's out by Project Veritas, and you've got to give those folks credit over there, folks, because they're doing some very good work. And what this clip is, I'm just queuing it up now. It's the AstraZeneca CEO, Pascal Soriot, claiming that millions of immunocompromised people cannot get the jab. And had this guideline been followed, right out of the mouth of the CEO of one of the perpetrators, a lot of these deaths that we're talking about right now wouldn't have happened. So let's listen to this clip. It's about 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, of AstraZeneca CEO Gal Saro warning that this jab isn't for everyone.
You have to know a number of people cannot be vaccinated.
On a company-wide Zoom call on December 3rd, 2020, AstraZeneca CEO Pascal Soriot stated millions of people with immune deficiencies can't be vaccinated. Even back then, he saw enormous potential in monoclonal antibody treatments.
Like if you have an immune disease, lupus, or some other immune condition, you cannot or multiple sclerosis, you cannot be vaccinated. So there are millions of people in the world that will need a protection that cannot be coming from a vaccine. So the long-acting antibody has enormous potential. This long-acting antibody is quite unique because this is the only combination that potentially will last more than 6 months, up to potentially 12 months, and protect people for a long period of time.
Monoclonal antibody treatments were known to be effective relatively early in the COVID-19 pandemic, and some states in the U.S. moved quickly to use it as a frontline defense. However, the federal government actively pushed against the use of those treatments in favor of the vaccine.
The Biden administration, which outright revoked authorization for 2 very popular monoclonal antibody treatments that the state of Florida really pioneered over the summer. We have had people use it, and we've had good results. People have a right to access these treatments, and to revoke it on this basis is just fundamentally wrong.
If the CEO of one of the world's largest pharmaceutical companies realized back in 2020 that antibody treatments are necessary for the immunocompromised, why would governments around the world force vaccine mandates when millions of people are at risk if they got it?
We are looking at a winter of severe illness and death unvaccinated for themselves, their families, and the hospitals they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death.
But getting that shot really was an amazing feeling. It hits you.
Folks, why force the jab? Population reduction. That was none other than Trudeau at the end there saying it gets you. That's the mind control that Stephen Jacobson was talking about, folks. This is all about population reduction. I mean, if you want to really control some kind of outbreak, there was ivermectin, there was hydroxychloroquine. Do you see all the papers coming out now that these are effectual treatments against this pathogen? And here's more proof. Edward Dowd, he was a former portfolio manager for BlackRock, and I know he's an insider, and he's the author of an upcoming book, Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 21 and 22. Has been analyzing data related to all-cause mortality all the way back to March 21. And I'd like to play this clip out of the Epoch Times reporting on his findings. Now, it's 7 minutes and 24 seconds long, and it's one of those automated readers. But folks, I'm telling you, there's a ton of information in this, and this gives me an opportunity to check out my system, make sure everything's working well while I play this. So just have a listen, and I encourage you to get a copy of this over at the Epoch Times and pass it out. We need to wake America up.
Millennials experienced 84% rise of excess mortality into fall 2021, former BlackRock portfolio manager. Edward Dowd, a former portfolio manager for BlackRock and the author of the upcoming book Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths in 2021 and 2022, has been analyzing data related to all-cause mortality since March 2021. Dowd is familiar with predicting trends and observing patterns, and became interested in studying CDC data after he heard many anecdotal accounts of vaccine injury. He found a monumental spike in sudden deaths occurring in the fall of 2021 to early 2022 in the working age cohort, which corresponded to the Biden administration's vaccine mandates for federal and corporate employees. The age cohort from 25 to 44, which we call the millennials, experienced an 84% rise of excess mortality into the fall of 2021 August, September, October, and the rate of change was just dramatic, Dowd told Epoch TV's American Thought Leaders program during an interview that will premiere September 6. That represented about 61,000 Americans who perished from March 2021 to February 2022. To help Dowd better analyze the CDC data, a former top-ranked insurance analyst on Wall Street named Josh Sterling took the CDC data for all-cause mortality, which was not divided by age group, and separated the numbers by age cohort. He first created a baseline of normal death rates from 2015 to 2019. Dowd said this was to get a more accurate picture of who died during the height of the vaccine mandates. Large insurers see same spike in deaths. In early 2022, Dowd and Sterling got other sources corroborating their findings about the spike in deaths for the working age cohort. In January 2022, One America CEO Scott Davison said during a press call that, based on their life insurance claim data, in the second half of 2021, all-cause mortality among, especially working age members, had rose to a stunning 40%, said Dowd. And his company, which is a $100 billion insurance company, experienced just this incredible rise in deaths and claims. The significance of this rise in mortality, he explained, is that this company provides group life insurance, which handles insurance for corporations, not individuals. 40% is like a war. It's not something that happens in the normal course of business, said Dowd. Before the COVID-19 vaccine mandates, the deaths were primarily in the older age cohort, but after the vaccine rollouts in the second half of 2021, deaths became inflated in the younger, working age cohort, he added. Dowd has his own hunch about this sudden increase aligning with the vaccine mandates for big businesses, corporations, as well as federal agencies, but said that even if others disagree, he wants to be able to discuss, debate, and study the data in depth to come to a fair and rational conclusion about this spike in deaths. In addition to One America, the Society of Actuaries published a data set also showing very similar results to what Dowd and Sterling found regarding death rates in working age cohorts. They did what's called a group life survey, where they rolled out about 80% of the revenues of the industry and looked at some all-cause mortality data. To table 5.7, which is on page 23 of this report, said Dowd. In the 25 to 34, they saw 78% excess mortality in the third quarter of 2021. They also saw in the 35 to 44 age group 100% excess mortality. We combined that group and our number was 84%, said Dowd. Dowd said the fact that they used different data sets, Dowd used CDC all-cause mortality numbers and the insurance company used their group life claim numbers, but got similar death spikes, validates his hypothesis of vaccines being the cause of death. But we need more data from the government, which they're not providing. And if they did, the link would be there, I think, 100%, said Dowd. Similar numbers, different conclusion. While Dowd attributes the spike in deaths to the vaccine mandates, the Society of Actuaries attributes the deaths to other factors, including long COVID, suicides, drug overdoses, and missing medical screenings due to lockdowns. Dowd disagrees with the insurance company's conclusion. I know there was an event that occurred in the third quarter. That was corporate mandates and executive order mandate by the Biden administration for companies with over 100 employees. And what we saw was a rate of change, a slope of the line into the 84%, into the third quarter that was so alarmingly fast and large, it went from like 50% to 84% in 3 months, said Dowd. Dowd also argues that the insurance company's conclusion does not make sense because corporate employees tend to be healthier people, with fewer drug addiction and suicide rates. The Malone Doctrine. The problem goes well beyond the effects of the COVID vaccines, according to Dowd. He sees a deep-seated corruption in the public health institutions and in medicine, which he said has crept in over a long period of time but needs to be challenged. That is why he and three other co-authors wrote the Malone Doctrine. Through Dowd's participation in anti-mandate rallies in Hawaii, he met Dr. Robert Malone. Dowd informed Malone that he was looking at death rates by monitoring insurance companies and funeral home data to see if there were any trends that raise concern. Dowd said Dr. Malone represents integrity in the sciences, and that is why the document is named after him. Malone is a scientist, physician, and inventor of mRNA vaccines, and has been at the forefront of the fight for COVID data transparency and vaccine integrity. This was a gift to Dr. Malone, and Dr. Malone is going to make it a gift to the world. And hopefully, over time, this gets adopted, said Dowd. Dowd said he is passionate about finding the truth and having an open debate about these vaccines, because people are clearly being harmed by the vaccines, and he is concerned for the future of the country. We think that over time, not only will Josh and I be proven right, it's going to be devastating for a lot of institutions, and the implications for our country are going to be very, very dire, said Dowd. This is a crisis of epic proportions that no one seems to be talking about. At the very least, it should be acknowledged, and there should be investigations all over the country to try to figure out the silent killer.
I think that said it all, folks. And the reason I'm putting so much time in what happened with the scamdemic is that this same information, these same lies, this same methodology is being used for the Great Reset in general, you know, from the food shortages to the attack on conservatives, to what's going on with the financials over in Europe. And when Europe goes, the rest of the world goes, folks, all of this craziness, the false narrative concerning the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the money laundering going on, the attack on President Trump at Mar-a-Lago, all of this, folks, is controlled manipulation and the advance of an agenda show. Now, right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means solve, boo means dance. Ki means skill from the verb, kabu meaning to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the Latin curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before it would have done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, there's a great socialist that we all know from history, and his name was FDR. And he once said, in politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. And if we connect the dots, that's exactly what we see. And Tucker Carlson, love him or hate him, folks, he's now saying as much. This next clip I want to play for you is from a recent monologue. He laid out how Europe are destroying normal life there in Europe. And like I said, if Europe goes false, and energy is key to a functioning society, but the elites don't care. Or maybe they do care, and they're making things worse on purpose. So what I'd like to do, Carlson, talking about the World Economic Forum and their agenda and what he's seeing. Now, here's the problem. I can't find it. I know it's here somewhere. Oh, yes. Tucker Carlson, the elites are making things worse on purpose.
And it's not just energy that's being affected by these sanctions. In Brussels, Joe Biden warned that food shortages are inevitable. Remember this?
With regard to food shortages, yes, we did talk about food shortages. And it's going to be real. The price of these sanctions is not just imposed upon Russia. It's imposed upon an awful lot of countries as well, including European countries and our country as well.
Oh, so we're all going to have to buckle down for freedom. We have to shovel billions to Ukrainian oligarchs who clearly hate the United States because it's the right thing to do. We need to hurt Russia because it's our moral duty. So did these sanctions actually hurt Russia? They caused food and energy shortages throughout the West. No, they didn't hurt Russia. Russia today has more than enough energy, more energy that it can use or sell. In fact, Russia has so much excess natural gas that it's simply setting it on fire. That's right, flaring it, as they say. A Russian plant near the border with Finland is burning $10 million worth of natural gas every day. It seems like a big story. So how's the media covering this? Well, here's the BBC. Quote, scientists are concerned about the large volumes of carbon dioxide and soot it is creating, which could exacerbate the melting of Arctic ice. Really? That's your concern? More global warming? When the immediate effect is to make it impossible for people to Europe to stay warm. You can reach a place in your society where the people in charge and their lapdogs in the media become so completely disconnected from the concerns of actual people, become so totally uninterested in the lives of citizens, the society becomes very volatile, and we are fast approaching that point. So we could fix this problem. The solution to this catastrophe is very straightforward. End the war in Ukraine. Reestablish energy flows into Europe and save the global economy, including ours. Is Joe Biden doing that? Are other reckless Western leaders like Boris Johnson doing that? No, they're doing the opposite. They're sending billions more from their dying economies to Ukrainian oligarchs, and for no good reason. The UK has committed $2.8 billion to Ukraine in a country where 70% of pubs may close because they can't afford electricity. This is a government that's preparing for power outages in the middle of winter. As The Guardian reported, under the government's last reasonable worst-case scenario, officials believe the UK could experience blackouts for several days in January if cold weather combines with gas shortages to leave the country short of power. Well, of course cold weather will combine with gas shortages because that's when people use gas, when the weather is cold. Wake up, geniuses. And it's not just happening in the UK. Again, it's happening everywhere. Spain has just approved more than 50 million euros for Ukraine, and that's not including funding for military hardware. In other news, Spain's Congress just implemented temperature controls on commercial buildings. Air conditioning must be no cooler than 27 degrees Celsius. That's 80 Fahrenheit, by the way, in case you don't live there in August. After 10 p.m., shop windows in unoccupied public buildings won't be lit. How about Italy? Well, Italy has allocated more than 600 million euros for Ukrainian refugees. And yet, at the same time, air conditioning in Italian schools and public buildings has already been restricted in what the government labeled Operation Thermostat that began in May. Italy's Ukraine funding is a lot, but it's not quite as much as France. France has sent more than $2 billion U.S. to Ukraine. And at the same time, France is fining shopkeepers for keeping their doors open and running their air conditioning so we can send more weapons to one of the most corrupt governments in the world. In France, illuminated signs are banned from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. For our part, the United States has sent more than $10 billion in military aid. That's 19 packages of weapons to what Mitch McConnell tells us is the most important thing in the world. Congress has approved more than $30 billion in additional spending. So how is all that spending working out? Are we winning the war in Ukraine? Have we bankrupted Vladimir Putin like Joe Biden claimed we would? The ruble just hit a 7-year high against the U.S. dollar in June. Take a look at this chart comparing the Russian ruble against the euro. Russia's doing well. Europe is not doing well at all. Now Joe Biden is calling for an unconditional surrender from Vladimir Putin. Here's the weird thing. By any actual reality-based measure, Vladimir Putin is not losing the war in Ukraine. He is winning the war in Ukraine. And Joe Biden looks at that and says, we won't stop until you proffer an unconditional surrender. This isn't bad policy. This is nuts. It makes no sense. In fact, it only makes sense if the goal is to completely destroy the West in order to make way for Chinese global dominance. What would be the other explanation for this behavior?
Folks, there you heard it. So Russia wasn't hurt by these economic sanctions. This war, this economic war against Russia, Russia bad, Ukraine good, you know, that false dichotomy, it wasn't effective. And why? Because that wasn't the purpose. Remember, nothing in politics is by accident. If it happens, you can rest assured that it was by design. So this is all by design, folks, and there is no coincidence. And most of you listening to this podcast already know all of this. So now we just need to convince our friends and our family that this is the case. Look at everybody in your sphere of influence, people that you can actually have an impact upon, and wake them up. But even those among the red pilled, so to speak, okay? Those of us who are fully awake and completely skeptical about everything that we're being told by the legacy media and the government and all of the quote-unquote, I'm using air quotes, folks, all of the officials, the experts, even amongst us, there's this huge gap of disagreement regarding what stage we're actually at with regard to the globalistic elite's plan for the Great Reset. Now, J.D. Rucker calls them the cabal, and I like that. Now, some, like Alex Jones, they say the cabal's scrambling to overcome the revelations of all the truthers out there, you know, that we truthers are gaining some traction. And then you have others like Dave from X22 Report that claim that Trump and his white hats are playing 3D, 4D, maybe 12-dimensional chess. Isn't that how many dimensions there are in reality? The point is, folks, that people like Dave over at the X22 Report and some of the people that he has on, they all tell you, get your popcorn ready and enjoy the show. Well, that's a propagandic method that was used all the way back by the Bolsheviks to quench the resistance by mind control. Now, me, myself, I believe we're somewhere in between. And regardless of what stage the Great Reset plans are actually in, there are two realities at play here, folks. And this is something that J.D. Rucker said, and I can agree 100%. The first reality, and it's a controversial one, is that many of us in the truth movement, myself, J.D. Rucker, Mike Adams, a lot of people, Alex Jones, we all profess to be Christians. So we embrace the Christian worldview. And there's a lot of us out there that don't. But we shouldn't dismiss what each other's saying because we don't embrace the same quote-unquote faith. No, regardless of what I believe spiritually, regardless of what you believe spiritually, something is happening here right now in the world that isn't good. So whether or not powers that be, the cabal, as J.D. Rucker calls them, are actually supernatural, and the challenges we face, are they just in this reality, or is as above, so below? Is there some kind of great cosmic battle going on? Well, these are things that we can deal with later. The reality right now is that we're facing a fundamental, what do you want to call it, a once in 10,000 year event. And these are challenges that need to be understood and they need to be dealt with, regardless of how you perceive these threats in our world right now. Now, there definitely are differences in how we view it, but our understanding of the actions of the Luciferians all ought to be the same. That is, this is an all-out assault on humanity with the end game goal to reduce 14 out of every 15 people. And by reduce, I mean destroy, kill. And this is very important to understand because this is how the cabal itself literally operates. They have no regard for the sanctity of life, folks. Can't you see that from their policies on gender mutilation of young, innocent children to killing of the unborn in the womb of the mother to all of this malfeasance concerning the COVID-19 vaccine? So there are those within the cabal who are what I'll call true believers in whatever it is that drives them to participate. Now, these true believers are just foot soldiers or useful idiots of Lucifer, you know? And this includes a lot of middle managers and even a handful of some of the very powerful, useful idiots at the very top. And they are all participating because they believe, and there's that word, folks, believe. So they believe. We're faith beings, remember? All of us, whether or not we're truly saved, whether or not we're truly abiding in Christ, we're all faith beings, folks. And they're doing this because they hope to accomplish something that's bigger than themselves, and they hope to be on the winning team. Now, those of us who are Bible-believing Christians and are fighting against the global cabal of Lucifer, we know how this ends because we know prophecy. But we need to align with those who don't share our same worldview concerning spirituality. Now, this doesn't mean that we're allies in everything, but we do share a common enemy right now. And this is this cabal who wants to destroy humanity. Folks, we're at a point now, and people like myself and J.D. Rucker and many others are seeing it. We need to align ourselves together, regardless of our faith. We can debate faith later. Right now, we have a common enemy. So we need to get equipped to fight the good fight and save our Western way of life. And as Jesus said, occupy until he returns. Now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for our newest segment, Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow. You can get in the wind of the wind, if ever a wind there was. If ever a wind there was, the wind of the Bazzi won because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Now, folks, you know this segment here because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And folks, there's a lot out there right now saying there's something underway, something similar, in fact, even bigger than what we saw back in 2008 and 2009 with the subprime mortgage collapse and the TARP bailouts. This is huge, folks. And just like J.D. Rucker's saying, I'm also thinking that we're not being cautious enough with regard to this. I believe there's something coming that's far worse than what we saw back then. Now, there are many contributing factors to the downturn back then, but the main issue was, like I said, that subprime mortgage market. That was the catalyst, and that was the primary driver for that whole thing. And if that was fixed, I don't think it would have happened, and the shockwaves that went across every financial sector wouldn't have happened. You can call that whole 2008 TARP bailout scheme a subprime mortgage market failure or a one-cause event, like JD calls it. But certainly, something different is going on today. And what we're going to see moving into the end of 2022 and into 2023, if we make it that far, is far different. So there was one major factor back then that was worsened, or I should say worse than many other smaller factors. But today, it's very different. In fact, what I'm going to warn you about now in this Follow the Yellow Brick Road segment comes from none other than Michael Snyder over at the Economic Collapse blog. And I'll call him a friend of mine. We had him on Tribulation Now several times. I don't stay in touch with him, but Mike's an on-point guy, and he gave 12 numbers to show we're getting dangerously close to an economic crash in the fall of 2022. And folks, this looks like 12 separate, distinct issues, each of the same magnitude of what we saw back in 2008. So this is literally beyond an order of magnitude more serious than what we saw before. The first one is unemployment rates. They're reporting for August 3.7%. But if you go to John Williams over at Shadow Stats, you're going to see it's closer to 24% if you apply the same methodology used during the Clinton administration. So they're lying about unemployment. It's not 3.7%. It's closer to six times that. So we'll call that items one and two. Then item three, about half of all U.S. companies say they're going to eliminate jobs within the next 12 months. So it's even going to go higher, folks. Number four, the government's telling us the inflation rate's only about 8.5%. But number five, if you use Williams' methods back from the Clinton administration before they corrupted the reporting, we're up around 17% right now, and it's going to only get worse. Number six, at one company, the number of Americans taking out short-term loans for groceries, did you hear me, folks? Not for cars, not for houses like it used to be. And now it was furniture at the rent-a-centers, but now for groceries, has doubled this year. Number seven, one out of every five home sellers in the U.S. dropped their asking price last month. One out of every five. So the housing market's starting to crash. And sales on previously owned homes are up about 20%, down about 20% this July from last July. Number nine, one recent survey found that 3.8 million Americans believe they could be evicted from their homes in the next 2 months. Number 10, according to the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, 20 million households across America are behind on their utility bills, and it's only getting worse, folks. Number 11, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has fallen for 3 weeks in a row. And this slide is very similar to what we saw back in 2008. And then in August, 2,150 corporate executives sold off shares in their companies. Are they trying to get out before the crash happens? Folks, I'm telling you, I absolutely respect Michael Snyder's reporting and his understanding of the economy and collapses. Like I said, I've interviewed him several times on Tribulation Now, and he's been writing about this for a long time, and he certainly knows more about the topic than I do. But I take exception in one area. He continues to reference how bad the things were back in 2008 and comparing it to what we may be facing now. And I think he's dramatically underestimating the severity of what's coming. I think this possible collapse now will make what happened back in 2008 look like a walk in the park. Now, some critics of Snyder say, well, he's out there selling a doomtard book. And they'll say people like J.D. Rucker has gold sponsors, and he's trying to sell gold. And they call this fear porn or fear mongering for profit. But I'm telling you, folks, I don't have a book to sell. I don't have gold to sell. I am merely telling you what I see coming. And by the way, let me make this perfectly clear. I don't want to see this happen. Because regardless of how well prepared you are, if everything around you is falling down, your way of life is done. You're going to see people suffer, and the empathy in me is going to just overwhelm me. It's going to smother me, and I don't want to see that, folks. Now, praise the Lord, I don't believe this is a foregone conclusion. I don't. At least I pray it isn't. Now, I also don't want to paint some sort of rosy picture about the economy because I believe it's bad, but I'm just calling things as I see it. And beyond these existential threats I just talked about concerning the housing market and employment and inflation and the layoffs that are coming and all the other things that we just went through on Snyder's list, and the fact that the powers that be and their puppets are all pushing for the collapse and the Great Reset, you know, the World Economic Forum, the Club of Rome, the Council for Inclusive Capitalism, among others. They've been doing something for a long time to launch this Great Reset. And why? Well, you have to set the stage with these crashes or you won't have anything to reset. The point is, if it isn't broken, how can you fix it? So they have to break it so they can fix it. Ordo ab cao. You know, crisis, reaction, solution. So these failing world leaders who have lost all credibility, including this de facto Biden-Harris regime, and I use air quotes when I say failing because I don't think this is by accident. I don't think it's out of control like Dave over at X22 saying. I don't think the regime's policies are failing because the White Hats are winning. No. I think it's working exactly as they intended it to work. They want to increase inflation They want to make gasoline cost prohibitive. They want you to drive electric vehicles that they can't supply enough power in the grid to energize. They want to launch this energy crisis, the food crisis, and every other possible crisis you can think of. Why? To crash the system so that they can come in with the solution. Problem, reaction, solution. Folks, this is intentional. This is controlled. This is the controlled demolition of the Western way of life. Just like we saw those controlled demolitions of the Twin Towers and Building 7 back on 9/11/2001. 21 years ago. Tomorrow, folks. So this is so sad. And there are three things we should do in order to salvage what we can and possibly, just possibly prevent this collapse. First and foremost, we need to take and make righteous objections to all of these damaging policies and take it to the highest level. But you need to start grassroots. And I'm not just talking about going on and preaching to the choir on social media. No, no, no. We need protests. We need lawsuits. We need our voices to be heard. Secondly, we need a red wave this November. We do. And I know a lot of people say, well, it's corrupt. Well, folks, we need to prove it's corrupt if it hasn't been fixed. We need to turn out everyone we can, and we need to vote red. And I get more into how we can do this in Coop Talk with Henrietta. Now, if the GOP, a resurrected GOP, takes control of both the House and Senate this fall, we can prevent further damage. Unless we unleash a massive red wave and get veto-proof type majorities, we're not going to succeed. And having people like Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy in charge, that's only marginally better than having Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. It is. But at least we've started the process. And to do that, we have to prepare locally. Now, that means that we should all become preppers, and I talk a lot about that. But there's other things we can do as we prep and as we just continue to live. Stop buying from Amazon. Stop buying from the Chinese-associated mega stores like Walmart and Target. Support your local economy, because if the economy collapses globally, maybe, just maybe, we can keep some of these local business people in business. And, you know, avoid bread lines in our local communities. So, folks, just pray for America. We're facing hard times, and the federal government's bent on taking advantage of our hardships. Why? For more control. So I encourage you, folks, to become as reliant, self-reliant as you can. Now, of course, we all rely upon Jesus, whether we know it or not, for the very next breath we take. But the point I'm trying to make, folks, is we have to become less dependent upon the system, the beast, whatever you want to call it. But right now it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, there you are, Henrietta. Hey, folks, I just want to mention yesterday we celebrated my birthday. Terry had an incredible day planned. We went to the Somerset Historical Center just outside of Somerset, between Somerset and Jennerstown in southwestern Pennsylvania. Folks, it was a beautiful day. And Terry said to me this week, hey, I have a day planned for you on your birthday. We're going to do a craft fair. And I thought, oh, I hate craft fairs. But I bit my tongue. Something in me said, don't object. And then she finished and said, but it's not a normal craft fair. It's going to show how the pioneers made clothing and how they forged iron and how they cut stone and made split rail fences. And, folks, I got to see it all. And it was something else. And then right beside it, by accident, we stumbled upon the Kew Creek. That's where they saved those nine miners back in 2001, I believe it was, by drilling that borehole. It was on national and international television. Happened right in my backyard, folks. But anyways, there's a lot of ways to prepare. So we need to know all of these old skills. We need to prepare for food shortages. You know, have a full pantry, plant your own garden, get to know your local farmers. And there was incredible displays there showing how the local economies worked with butter, which was a major commodity out of that area. And it was shipped all over the eastern United States back in the 1700s and 1800s. So we need to do all of that. But there's something else we can do politically. And that's what I want to share with you today in Coop Talk. I ranted there right before this about how we need to have a red wave this fall. And there's a clip I want to play for you. It's about 6.5 minutes long, and it's about getting involved on a precinct level. You know, there's half of the precinct positions are open. So if you say that half of them are filled by MAGA people and the other half by the normal Rhino type Republicans, so you have a 50-50 split of half of the seats. Well, if we, the conservative Make America First people, get in there and get the other 50% of the seats, we'll have a 75% position on the precinct level. And really, that's where all policy for the party is made. So just take a listen. And this is a last shot effort. That's what I'm saying. So have a listen to this, and then we'll comment a little bit before we move on.
Hey, it's Cold Warrior with another edition of Cold Warrior TV. So hang on to your hats. We're going to get this done as quick as possible. So the Neighborhood Precinct Committeeman strategy. It's the answer for taking back your political party. It's the answer for electing conservatives. And it's the most important thing you'll learn about saving your country if you're a conservative. So here it is in a nutshell. Precinct committeemen are the card-carrying members of a political party. They elect the leaders of the party, and they're in the best position to get out the vote with the other precinct committeemen in their precincts. So right now, over half of these precinct committeemen slots are vacant in both of the two major political parties. If we conservatives will fill up all of these precinct committeemen slots in those local committees, we'll own our party, and instead of that party being at half strength and ideologically split, it would become solidly conservative with conservative leaders and a full strength get out the vote ground game. So if you're a conservative, you need to become a precinct committee when there's plenty of slots available. So which of these two parties is better? So on the left, what it is, we've got a half strength ideologically split party with no message and no ground game. Half of these slots are vacant. What it could be on the right, a 75% majority of conservatives in relation to moderates, the landslide win producing political powerhouse ground game. It's all about getting out the vote. So if all grassroots conservative groups would now pivot and unite inside a political party, what would be the result? We'd control the outcome of the primary elections and elect the party officers. So we've got Tea Partiers of the various types. We've got As a Mom groups. These are just examples. The 912 groups, Smart Girl Politics, the gun groups, NRA and GOA. Half of those people are not registered to vote, and only half of those who are vote. Sarah PAC, Patriot Action Network, Evangelical Christians. Those same statistics apply with them as well. We've got to unite somewhere. Obvious place to unite, local Republican Party committees. So are you happy with the current Republican Party leadership? Yeah, I thought so. You're not. So you want to change it? So you want to become a political activist, right? So what's political activism? You're not really a political activist unless you've actually gathered a signature for someone or something to achieve ballot status in the next or the latest election. That's friend David Fitzgerald's quote. So let's let that sink in for a minute. Are you doing that? You're not actually in a political party unless you can vote for the party officers. Have you done that? So you got to get this. You got to get it now, 2014. But preaching to the conservative choir on the internet does not grow our party. So basically, this is what it looks like. Did you hear the latest? This is what happens on the internet day after day after day. People read news articles. They write about them. It goes from Twitter to Facebook to Hot Air, Red State, Breitbart, Tea Party blogs, Fox News, conservative radio, on and on. Issues, issues, issues ad nauseum. And there's like this wall of separation between all of that and actual political action in local Republican Party committees. That's where you need to focus. So what won't win elections? Well, Twittering won't, Facebooking, all of that won't. Preaching to the conservative choir day after day on the internet is not going to get more conservatives to the polls. The best way to increase voter turnout is by a personal contact with the low information, low propensity voters. Precinct committeemen gain access to Get Out the Vote software to help them efficiently contact these low information, low propensity voters. About 35% Republican conservative voters fall into that category. And this works. It's just common sense. With a little coordination and organization, the precinct committee minimum in my precinct doubled Republican turnout in a mayoral race with just 3 to 4 hours of targeted get-out-the-vote phone calls and literature drops. I was in our precinct. So you live in a precinct. There you are in your precinct. So which of these two precincts has a better chance to have as many voters as possible vote, knowing that primary election turnout averages are about 20 to 25%. What's it going to be? The lone person in the precinct or all the precinct committeeman slots filled up and then they in turn getting out the vote? So how do you find your local committee to get involved? Well, one way is to call your county Republican committee chairman. If that doesn't work, call your state Republican committee chairman. Search the web. A lot of these local committees now have websites. And, you know, you're resourceful. You're an American, right? Do whatever it takes. Find it. Go to the meeting. Tell them you want to get involved. So once you've gotten there, here's what you need to do. You need to read the rules of the Republican Party, the state committee rules and the bylaws, the county bylaws, your local committee bylaws. And most states have a state precinct committeeman handbook, which lays this all out, makes it easy for you. It's not hard. This is really not hard. It's basic American civics. You can do this. So here's some resources for you. There they are. theprecinctproject.wordpress.com. That's my little blog. Precinctproject.us. That's the Madison Project. They're helping get out the word. Unified Patriots. We've got an activism category on our webpage. There's my diary at Red State, and if you want to contact me, there's my email address. So you've been told what to do. I hope you'll do it, and let's do great things from here on out. Thanks.
Now, that clip goes all the way back to 2013, folks. That's why it may have sounded a little dated, but I'm telling you, this was something that has been underway for a while, but there just hasn't been enough momentum. And then David Schultz, I believe is Daniel Schultz, picked this up, and you can see this over at precinctstrategy.com. He was interviewed on Breitbart, and it's a tutorial. So go to precinctstrategy.com, study it. If you have any questions, info there. And they're at the top of the page, small numbers, big change, the power of 0.3% of 74 million. So folks, just go and do this at your precinct level. And I'll tell you what, we may still be able to do this with the ballot box, so we don't have to resort to the bullet box. But right now we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. Now, there's other ways we can fight. So that's a way to fight politically. There's a way to fight economically, and it's boycotts. It's making your dollars work for the people who are fighting the good cause. Here's another example. Where, you know, Mike Lindell is fighting the good cause, and he is being ostracized by all the major retailers. Bath and Beyond took him out of their stores. Walmart's taking him out of their stores. Look what happened to Bath and Beyond when they did. Closing 120 stores. Their chief financial officer just committed suicide. They're under investigation. Wayfair stock is now down, too, by 80% since they canceled Mike Lindell's MyPillow. Now, back in January 2021, Wayfair sided with the liberal mob, and they dropped MyPillow products on their online store. And in response, conservatives boycotted Wayfair, and they started to buy their pillows direct from Mike Lindell. He's working with a lot of the conservative media, And what he's doing is he's offering all sorts of promo codes. So he's taking out the profit that these retailers were making, and he's giving it back to you and me if we support him. So we can, folks, we can make a difference. And the point I want to make is that we can, if we take control of our wallets and our spending habits and spend it where we should, we can change things. And that's what I'm excited about. So this is in the Hopium Report because I'm just hoping, folks, that if we start doing the right thing for the right reason, perhaps, just perhaps, we can make a difference. Right now it's time to move on, though, and it's time for our Absurdian
Ladies
Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So, folks, you can't make this stuff up. These stories I share in the Absurdian Report, they're real, but you can't make them up. And this next one is just more proof that we're living in an upside-down world, clown world, as red-pilled rapper Tom McDonald calls it. Now, according to actor and comedian Terrence K. Williams, Facebook flagged his account for his new product, a pancake mix that he calls Cousin T's. So he says that he is being deplatformed, he is being throttled, he is being put into Facebook jail. Why? Because he put his black face on a box of pancake mix and called it Cousin T's pancake mix. Just have a listen to Terrence talk about it. And that's why it's in the Absurdian Report, because it's just so absurd when you listen to it.
What's going on, everybody? Everybody, come on in. Everybody, come on in. Come on in if you see this video, because Facebook is limiting my posts. They don't want my videos to reach people. It's part of my Facebook probation. I am absolutely not happy right now. Let me wait for some folks to come on in before I get started. Everybody, please share this video. Please share it. Please share it. Because Facebook sent me a notification telling me that my videos will be limited. That they will limit who sees my videos. This is really pissing me the hell off. Okay? Pissing me off. So Facebook is threatening to delete my account in 90 days if I don't behave. What in the hell do they mean if I don't behave? What do I do on here? All I do is make people laugh. Hmm? Is behaving, does that mean being nice to Joe Biden? Does that mean being nice to Kamala Harris? They want me to behave? Then they said the independent fact checker said that all I do is post fake news. I tell jokes. How you gonna fact check a joke? How can you fact check a damn joke? I have built up about 3.4 million of y'all follow me. 3.4 million. And Facebook don't want y'all to see my posts because evidently my comedy is dangerous. Evidently, I don't know how to behave. Is it because I'm a black Trump supporter? Is it because I wear this red hat? Huh? Is that what it is? And then another thing, what they did, they have been removing pictures of my pancake box, saying it's racist. So my face being on a pancake box is also racist. People's accounts have been deemed for posting pictures of my pancake box. Now, my account is about to be deleted in 90 days if I don't behave like Facebook wants me to. So people, that's probably why you haven't seen my post. I guarantee you a lot of you have not seen my post. It's because I've been in trouble. It's because I've been in Facebook jail. I've been on Facebook probation. They don't want me to tell you jokes. I'm not allowed to sell pancakes. I'm not allowed to do any damn thing. All because I'm a black conservative. That's exactly what it is. Because if I was a black liberal, they would love the hell out of me. They would love me. But since I'm a black Trump supporter, I don't matter. And I'd be damned if I let Facebook take everything from me. 3.4 million of y'all follow me, and I appreciate it, and I love that, because I come from foster care, and I never imagined 3 million people following me. I never knew I would have my own pancake business, and I will not let them cancel me. I will sue the crap out of Facebook if I have to. This is absolutely crazy. I will not stop. So I will not behave, Facebook. I will keep on telling the truth. I will keep on making people laugh. And I will keep on exposing the Democrats. And hell no, I'm not stopping. And hell no, I won't stop selling pancakes. And I'm not taking my face off. And that's why I came out with some new flavors, people. Now I have buckwheat, chocolate chip, birthday cake mix, pancakes, and my blueberry mix is back in stock. And no, Facebook, I will not take my face off. I will actually come out with more flavors, just so I can put my face on the box. People, go to CousinTees.com and get you some pancakes. And please don't let Facebook know you eating my pancakes, because they may put you in Facebook jail if they catch you eating my pancakes. Because evidently, these pancakes is racist. And evidently, my face being on these boxes is racist. Look at that racist black face.
That's right, Paul. It's absurdian. It is totally nuts. So here you have this conservative black comedian who has built a social media empire, 3 million plus followers, and now he's marketing a pancake mix. He puts his face on it, and he's called racist. We all know the true racist. It's Joe Biden. I talked about that. He used the N-word on the Senate floor. He called black people animals. He was mentored by one of the cyclopses of the KKK, who was also a member of the Senate, but we don't talk about any of that. You know, this follows along the lines with Aunt Jemima, Quaker Oats, who took the 130-plus-year-old syrup and renamed and rebranded it because of racial stereotyping. And then Mars Food back in 2021 took Uncle Ben's original light, quick rice, I think it was. And because of BLM protests, they renamed it. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's absurd. I'm telling you, it's all part of an agenda. It's divide and conquer. It's the balkanization of Western culture, just like they did in Yugoslavia back during the Clinton administration. That was the beta test for it all. And they're making progress, folks. So right now, I want to keep moving. It's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Okay, folks, you know, a lot of people wonder why, and right now I just have to make sure that I am getting out there before I get into this. If not, I'm going to have to move, doing another speed check. Seems like I get throttled when I get up live, okay? We have good download speeds. Let's just check and see what my uploads are before I start my Ken's Corner here, because if I'm all garbled, you're not going to be able to hear me. Okay, we get good download speeds. Let's look at our upload speeds. Okay, it looks like we're going to be, so I'll get started here. A lot of people, they wonder, what's going on? Why are all these things going on in this country? It doesn't seem like the Constitution of the United States is even going to fall. Well, it's not, folks. And there's one thing I can tell you about history or his story, and that is that the conventional narrative was written by those people in power. And the people in power right now wrote the history, and the history determines the direction we move. Our public schools, they don't teach what really happened, but rather they reinforce the narrative. Folks, we're in an information war. Take the war between the states, for example. It didn't start because of slavery. It started because of states' rights, which were paramount up to that point, were being threatened by the creation of the states, the federal government. The beast was growing, so to speak, and it threatened the states as new states were coming on. I once joked to one of the technicians named Bobby Joe down there that, you shouldn't be so cocky, Bobby Joe, because the North beat your butts. And she goes, no, Ken, the North didn't beat the South. The federal government beat the states. And I thought she was crazy, so I went over to the Shelby Library down there, and I saw all sorts of books on the Civil War, which they called the War Between the States, all sorts of books on the shelf that I never saw up here in Western Pennsylvania, never once in my entire life. And it was a eureka moment. It was a shock, folks. And the point I'm trying to make is that the truth isn't always found in the establishment narrative of history. For example, if people want real change to happen, the first thing they must understand as we get involved on a precinct level and try one last time with a great red wave is that there was an act instituted by Congress back in 1871 that must be repealed. This one act by Congress basically ruined the organic Constitution written back in 1789. And maybe we'll do a story on that. But that has to happen, because what happened is the District of Columbia became the beast. And then don't even get me started on the bar, you know, the British Accreditation Registry and all the stupidity with the law versus equity, lawyers versus attorneys. There's a lot there in those words, folks, but more on history a little later. I just wanted to share with you that things aren't as we think they are. And right now I want to continue to move. And right now it's time for Back to the Future, where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Okay, so today what I'd like to do is at the one to clip back 1859. I'd like to talk about one man, John Wesley Powell, and one specific location in the United States, the Grand Canyon. Now, back in 1869, John Wesley Powell gathered 10 men, 4 boats, and food for 10 months and set out from the Green River in Wyoming on May 24th, Colorado River, which back then was known as the Grand River, and document what he found. And what he found were some fairly amazing things as he went through the Grand Canyon. And he wrote about it, and he inspired many others. And then back in April 5th, 1909, so we went from 1869, and then he did another adventure because he had some issues with fire and flooding. So he had actually 2 trips through the Grand Canyon on the Colorado River. And that inspired many others. And this led to an article from supposedly G.E. Kincaid and S.A. Jordan's exploration back at the turn of the century, the 20th century, published on April 5th, 1909, in the Arizona Gazette. and it was titled Explorations in the Grand Canyon, Mysteries of Immense Rich Cavern Being Brought to Light. Jordan is enthused. Remarkable finds indicate ancient people migrated from Orient. And this is known as the Grand Canyon Conspiracy. And it claims that there are all of these Egyptian artifacts found in these labyrinths, these honeycombs of great caves and vast caverns that were opened up inside these mountains and these hills. And there was hieroglyphs, mummified remains, and even Hindu and Egyptian cultures represented, all in the Grand Canyon. Now, there are naysayers out there, people claiming that the 1909 Grand Canyon article was nothing more than a fabrication, and perhaps it was. And there's talk even in other articles about a massive gold mining operation that would basically destroy the value of gold because it would take it from hundreds of millions to billions of ounces in circulation, and everything would just be inflated in price. In fact, there's a theory out there by Wex Beard that this is the Road to Ruta theory. Greg Reese picked up on this recently in a podcast he did. But before I get into that, I want to tell you folks that the information is suppressed. And we need to make certain that we understand that history isn't always what we're being taught. For example, in my hands right here, I'm holding a book titled Before the Pharaohs, Egypt's Mysterious Prehistory. It was written by Edward F. Milkowski, and it was published by a little-known publishing company known as Bear & Company, a division of Inner Traditions International. And in this book, Milkowski documents everything that shows that there's all kinds of relationships between some of the South American cultures and Egypt. And there's all sorts of things that, I mean, come on, let's face it. You can't use a bunch of logs and roll those big megalithic blocks cut to incredible precision like we see in the Great Pyramid and in some of the things like Pitu and some of the other temples in South America. You cannot. And there's many others. I picked them up at a thrift store, brand new, never read. I got them for a couple bucks a piece. And I have an entire shelf full of them, and I never really get to read them all. But I'm just telling you, folks, history isn't what you think it is. Remember what H.G. Wells, was it? No, it was Huxley. No, it wasn't Huxley. I'm drawing a blank right now. 1984, George Orwell. He who controls the present controls the past or writes history. And he who controls the past controls the future. So don't forget that, folks. So how do we apply this to what's going on right now? Well, like I said, Greg Reese had Wex Beers on his podcast, Bixweer, I mean. And he started research on an alternative theory that he was inspired to kind of conceive after he read Edward Griffith's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And folks, if you haven't read that, please get a copy of it and read it. It tells you about the creation of the Federal Reserve private banking system. And Bixweer's theory is that patriots are infiltrating the Fed, preparing to destroy it from within. And the reason that Woodrow Wilson supported the Federal Reserve Act was because, as the Road to Ruta theory says, there was fear of catastrophic inflation. So what I'd like to do right now is play this latest Reese report where he's bringing back a lot of this stuff I just covered with you. And it was really exciting to see all this. Folks, I've known about this stuff for decades. And to hear people like Reese over at the Reese Report and Bixweer talking about it just realizes that it's moving on to the next generation. So here, let's listen to this Reese Report.
After reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, Bixweer began his own research and developed an alternative theory, which has a different motivation for the creation of the Federal Reserve banking system and involves patriots infiltrating the Fed to destroy it from within. President Woodrow Wilson, who strongly opposed private banks, signed off on the Federal Reserve Act, something he deeply regretted soon after. According to the Road to Ruta theory, Wilson signed off on it out of fear of catastrophic inflation. The amount of gold being found in the late 1800s was causing an endless rise of inflation. By 1900, several mining companies were harvesting gold from the Grand Canyon, which was a major undertaking. An 80-mile-long road was built to access a coal deposit for power, and barges and steamships were assembled in the canyon to deliver this coal every day. By 1912, the New York Times reported that billions of ounces of gold were estimated to be dredged from this operation. And at this time, there was only 64 million ounces of gold in the U.S. Treasury, and 160 worldwide. Adding billions of ounces would have been economically catastrophic. It would have driven the value of gold to zero, devastating the world's economies and destroying the wealth of the world's most powerful people. In 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was signed into law, the cornerstone of today's fiat currencies and debt-based economy. And in 1919, President Wilson banned all mining in the Grand Canyon. The massive influx of gold alone would have been enough to compel a new financial system. But there is more to the story. In the late 1800s, local homesteader Seth Tanner claimed to have seen mummies and artifacts in a cave within the Grand Canyon's Marble Canyon. When the Hopi learned he had seen the sacred site, they blinded him, sparing his life because of his Hopi marriage. In 1909, the Arizona Gazette reported that the Smithsonian was researching a man-made cave structure carved deep within the solid rock, 1,480 feet below the surface in Marble Canyon, big enough to house 50,000 people, with rooms full of ancient golden artifacts, mummies, and Egyptian hieroglyphs dating back 3,000 years to the Ramses dynasty. This is the same area that Seth Tanner described seeing the same thing. It's the same area where the famous Lost City of Gold was thought to be. And it's the land of the Hopi, whose ancestors once lived in the great hole Sipapu, commonly known as the Grand Canyon, where several geological formations have been given names from ancient Egypt. In 1956, two planes collided in midair, directly above the alleged cave system of Marble Canyon. And over the next 2 weeks, a dozen helicopters worked to haul out debris. And yet, debris is still scattered everywhere. There were no witnesses, and the bodies of the victims were all buried in a mass grave. The Leak Project's investigation of this cave shows what appears to be the remnants of this recovery operation. The Grand Canyon is full of caves, 90% unexplored and off-limits, protected by the U.S. military. Every president since Bush Sr. has tried to secure mining rights within the Grand Canyon, and all have been denied. This leads us to the second part of the Road to Ruta theory, that the Fed has been infiltrated by patriots on a mission to destroy it from within. Our main character is Alan Greenspan, who is friends with Ayn Rand, who published his 1966 essay, Gold and Economic Freedom, on the importance of a gold-backed monetary system. Greenspan was a gold bug. In 1969, a Swedish economist published On the Road to the Golden Age, which concludes that the best way to return to sound money is to run the fiat system into the ground by printing money into infinity, so that gold will restore stability and faith in the money supply, and fiat will be exposed for what it's always been, a scam. In 1971, President Nixon ended dollar convertibility to gold, which invited the money printers worldwide to let loose. Not only was Greenspan a renowned gold bug, he may be the most unsung hero of the computer age. He was childhood friends with the inventor of the first shareable computer programming language called BASIC, which Greenspan used to write the very first banking computer programs at his firm, Townsend Greenspan, back when punch cards were still being used. By 1985, Alan Greenspan was the expert on computer banking.
I suggest an Apple IIc, an Apple modem. Then you can call up your bank and see how much money you have. You can even pay off your bills automatically. If you have any money left over, congratulations. You're doing better than the government is.
2 years later, President Reagan nominated Greenspan as Fed chairman. That same year, legislation was passed to restrict Grand Canyon airspace. During his first year as president, Ronald Reagan formed a committee to investigate the possibility of returning to gold-backed money. The majority was against it, but Congressman Ron Paul's report argued that we need to return to a decentralized gold-backed standard. At the end, however, Ron Paul proposed holding off until the current fiat system had a chance to prove itself. In other words, run the money printers and let them fail. Also in 1981, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston published the first edition of their educational comic book, Wishes and Rainbows, which tells a story of a place that once had beautiful colors and golden flowers, but no longer does out of fear of being stepped on by the big people who live in Colorland, which is where the golden flowers can be found. Some say you can get there through the caves of Cobblestone Canyon. The main character of this comic, who decides to bring back the golden flowers, is Ruta. In the early basic programs that Greenspan wrote 60 years ago, Root A was the foundation. Ruta finds a golden light inside a cave of Cobblestone Canyon and begins bringing flowers back to her people, only to learn the problems of scarcity and demand. As she tries figuring out a solution, she writes the equations from On the Road to the Golden Age, Print the Money into Infinity. In 2007, the Boston Fed published an updated version of their cryptic Wishes and Rainbows. And in this edition, Ruta's solution in the dust is 11 plus 9, which looks an awful lot like 9/11. And right after this was published, the economic crash of 2008 began. Also in 2008, the Bitcoin white paper is published. And while nobody knows who authored it, Alan Greenspan, with his 60 years of expertise in digital banking, certainly could have played a part. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reiss.
So there you have it. You heard it. Now, whether or not it's true, that's what I was telling you about. But my point is, we're seeing an awakening of sorts among the masses. You know, I thought no one knew about this stuff. And then when I heard that podcast, I was like, wow, you two get it. It's exciting. History is being suppressed, folks. And we're seeing this awakening, like I said. Now, many who used to think everything was just fine and they had no reason to stop trusting the official narrative are beginning to realize that they're being lied to and the truth is being suppressed. Like Isaiah said, the truth has fallen in the street and equity is no more. So there's a lot of people that are aware of this now, and they realize that we're being gaslighted by the talking heads on television, the government, quote-unquote authorities, the experts in every realm of what they call science, and everyone else in between. Unfortunately, though, folks, this isn't translating into enough people coming to the conclusion that everything must be questioned, and that is the truth, folks. Now, there are some conspiracies that people are starting to realize are true, but they're dismissing much of what's happening around us as mere coincidence. And I'm telling you, it's not. Like we heard Tucker Carlson say, like I talked about earlier in the show, these things are engineered, folks. Now, if we were solely listening to the government and corporate media, the vast majority of normies amongst us still do. And that's where we need to wake them up. You know, our friends and family and other people in our spheres of influence, if we were like that, we might believe America and the rest of the world's just experiencing a bunch of, you know, unfortunate circumstances. And it just all happens to be occurring simultaneously. And we wouldn't question this official lie. I don't even like calling it a narrative anymore. And we wouldn't look up. We wouldn't look around. We'd just see everyone else blindly accepting the lies and everyone thinking that the conspiracy theorists out there are lunatics. And they just dismiss us as goofballs. But the good news, folks, and why I'm encouraged and why I keep doing this every week is that more and more Americans are waking up. They're waking up to the reality that we're not being told the truth on pretty much everything, from even health You know, we're being told that this garbage they package and call food is actually good for us. And that if you take vitamins, you just, it's expensive urine. But how do they package most of their pharma? As pills and capsules that you have to ingest. They use the digestive tract, the GI system, as their delivery system. And the most potent drug in the world is healthy food. And good supplements can actually turn around diseased bodies. But more and more people have to wake up to this. Our economic system is diseased. Our food system is corrupted. Our financial system is in a mess. And we need to wake people up. Now, to do this and not be perceived as crazy, we need the right tools to get her done, so to speak, as Larry the Cable Guy says. And just let me ask you something. And by the way, I want to give credit to Pastor Todd again. I tell you this, and I mean it in all sincerity. I love this man. Like my brother in Christ, he is a guy's guy. He loves to work on cars. He's a great woodworker and metal worker, and he's a very unique guy. And I told him last week that, you know, you're right on with this, brother. This is the type of stuff that got me in trouble at my former church that, you know, any of you have been listening for a while know some of the things that happened there. But I want to share this with you, okay? I want to share this with you. If we're going to fight the good fight for the kingdom, we need tools. And I want to tell you about a driveway project that Terry and I did here back in 2009. We poured about 80 yards of concrete. Yes, Terry and I poured 80 yards of concrete right up around the house. So we have a 1,600-foot gravel driveway that leads up to this paved area right around our compound, as they call it, you know, her art studio and the house and everything. So we needed tools to do that. And one of them was a power screed. Now, without proper tools, it's very difficult to do the job. And sometimes these tools make the job possible. And without it, it's impossible. And I don't think Terry and I could have poured 80 yards of concrete without the power screed. So we needed the proper tool. And that proper tool made the job better and much easier. Now let's think about that with respect to the good fight that we need to fight for God's kingdom. You know, God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. And last week I talked about what the world needs is more Pentecosts, or Pentecostals, I should say. So God gave us the Holy Spirit to help us. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that's to help us pray. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So that's very important to understand. And he also helps us to walk rightly. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and the beginning of 23 reads, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control need to have. And if we live by the Spirit, we also walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, and Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So the point here, folks, is as Luke said in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, what we talked about last week, if we receive the power, the whole day in Samaria and the ends of the earth, that's where we come in, folks, the ends of the earth. So remember what we learned last week. We're called to be his witnesses. So as his witnesses to the ends of the earth, we must walk right. We must talk right. We must act right. And we need to be equipped with God's Holy Spirit and the tools that he provides through his Spirit to be effectual witnesses. And this, folks, is part of our calling as believers. Now think about this. If our relationship with God was merely vertical between us and him, then we'd be missing out on all sorts of blessings if we extended those relationships, those godly, good relationships horizontally amongst others, believer and non-believer alike. But these relationships will only be effectual if we apply his heavenly tools to get her done, so to speak, as Larry the Cable Guy says. So always remember, number one, point number one, God supplies the tools we need to work with him. like I opened with in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. Now, there are diversities of gifts, and this word diversity of gifts, or this phrase, the word gifts there is charisma. Remember that, and I'll talk more about it. But the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh in all. So there's three categories of what he'll do through us. Gifts, administration, and operations. Now, the word gift, like I said, is charisma, and we get the word charismatic from that. Now, the charismatic word may best be known for the charismatic movement in Christianity, which was a movement within established mainstream Christian denominations to adopt beliefs and practices of what's known as charismatic Christianity. And that's an emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is biblical, and we covered that, folks, you know that, and the use of spiritual gifts, which I want to focus on today, and that's the charismata. And it's affected many denominations in the U.S. and across the world. Now, the movement began back in 1960 in Anglicanism, and then it spread to other mainstream Protestant denominations, including the Lutherans and the Presbyterians. And by 1962, the Roman Catholics got into it. And by 1967, it was in full swing, and the Methodists even got involved. The Methodists, folks, got involved in the move of the Spirit in the 70s. And this movement was very influential in evangelical churches like Pittsburgh East that I was involved in. But then, lo and behold, I start getting in trouble for sharing testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit in those who are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, this last wave was known as the third wave, and it was expressed in the formation of separate evangelical churches like the Vineyard. And, you know, the whole Pentecostal movement and the Assemblies of God, which actually started from that revival in San Francisco, I believe it was in the turn of the 20th century. These are all organizations that mirror the primitive Pentecostal churches of the book of Acts. And I'm telling you, folks, that's where it's at. That's where the power of God resides. So charismatics and the Pentecostals have so much in common, as do the Assemblies of God. And remember, this charisma is by grace. And remember that each and every one of us as believers are included in the all of verse 6. Not only charismatics and Pentecostals, but all believers. And then reading further on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, we see that for to one is given the Spirit by the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit to another faith, and by the same Spirit to another gifts of healing by that same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And I'm telling you that, and I can use this term properly here, is an awesome list, because that list came from God. So ponder on this a bit. Since God is good and almighty, isn't it true that he could do awesome things through us? By these gifts, word, or these words, wisdom and knowledge, are very important. You know, the writer of Ecclesiastes tells us that when you acquire this, you also get much sorrow. So you need the grace of God in your life to survive, literally. You truly do when you have wisdom and knowledge. And there's a difference between these two. And the primary difference between these two gifts, although they're very related, they aren't quite exactly synonymous. That word wisdom involves a healthy dose of perspective, whereas judgment isn't really in knowledge. Knowledge is just you get a factoid from the Holy Spirit, whereas wisdom gives you a healthy dose of perspective on that also, so that you can make a sound judgment. So while knowledge is simply knowing, I could say that wisdom is knowledge applied, if that makes sense. Now, Pastor Todd once got a word of knowledge from a woman at a pastor's conference, and I'd like to share that with you. Now, he was always concerned early in his ministry that he was going to drop the ball. And he was always praying to the Lord that he wouldn't drop the ball, and he was asking for help in this matter, as we should do as believers. I'm always crying out to the Lord, Lord, I need you. I can't do this alone. Help me. Please help me. And then at this conference, I think it was a woman, she said to him, I have a word of knowledge for you. And she said, I'm seeing this young boy on a little league team as a catcher, afraid to drop the ball. And Pastor Todd was just stunned. And the reason he was stunned is because as a little boy, his dad forced him to play little league. And he was the catcher, and he was always afraid to drop the ball. And he had just prayed to the Lord that he would help him, the Lord would help him not to drop the ball in the ministry. And the word of knowledge from this woman was, the Lord wants you to know it's all right. You won't drop the ball. So that's a gift of knowledge. She didn't really know what that all had to do. She had no perspective on the matter, so she had no wisdom on the matter. But she had a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit. So let's look at some of these gifts of charisma from the Bible. Now, a word of wisdom was when Paul was on that ship in the storm that's given to us in the book of Acts. That story is accounted for us there in the book of Acts. And they were about to start to throw some of the prisoners overboard. And Paul said, no, stop. No one will die. So he had wisdom on how to deal with that very dire situation. Now, an example of knowledge is the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you know, the couple that sold their property and then lied to the early church fathers, including St. Peter, that they had given all the money and the Holy Spirit told him otherwise. He had wisdom. So he knew that they were lying, and he said that the Holy Spirit will be upset over this, and they died and were carried out and buried. Then there's gifts of faith and gifts of miracles. And these things are all real, and they were all documented in the New Testament, and they continue to happen to this day. Yet, unfortunately, there's a group of cessationists. They're a group of Christians who say that it all stopped. It all stopped upon the end of the apostolic age. So I guess when St. John died, and I've said this so many times before, when St. John died on the islet of Patmos, a decree went out amongst the Christians that, thus saith the Lord, operations of the gifts of the Spirit are now ended because St. John has died and the apostolic age has ended. You know what? That's a bunch of horse hockey, folks. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Those miracles that we saw, like when St. Paul was making the fire after the shipwreck, and he reached for a pile of wood and was bitten by a venomous snake and he lived. That's a gift of miracles, folks. And how about the gift of prophecy? When Paul was warned that he'd be arrested and bound and later executed by that one person, that other believer, that's a gift of prophecy. How about the gifts of tongues on the day of Pentecost that we talked about and the interpretation of them that must go on in all public settings where we have tongues? Folks, these gifts are alive and well today. And if we're going to fight this fight that I've been sharing with you in this message, we need to be equipped. We need to be used by the Holy Spirit of God as willing vessels, believing and operating in this. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the same selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. Now, the point here is, folks, that we create an environment to work or be able to work with God. So unless we believe, unless we put our hands up and forsake all and trust him and surrender to him and just believe, you know, we have to almost sometimes lay aside our rational mind. And this isn't some kind of stupid leap of faith, but we have to get the rational, unbelieving mind out of the way sometimes and allow the Holy Spirit to operate through our spirit and then change our minds. So we're no longer conformed to the ways of this world, but renewed with the wisdom and power of God. And then God will do things in us and through us that will truly amazing. But to do that, we must surrender and be willing. And that means that we have to be in the right environment. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So what's that mean? Well, the pursuit of these gifts in and of themselves would be a selfish endeavor. Whereas if we pursue love, we are creating that environment. And this is what was so profound last week and what Pastor Todd spoke about. If we, instead of pursuing the gifts, work to create an environment of love in all that we do. So when we share this truth with people, temper it with love. And when we're loving upon people, make sure you temper that love with truth, because truth without love and love without truth, that's actually a lie. You have to have truth said in love, and you have to have love in truth or counterfeit. So I'm encouraging all folks to go out there and pursue love and then desire these gifts, and they'll manifest. And that's genuine. And if we go out with that genuine, sincere spirit, those people, those normies out there that need to be red-pilled, they're going to be able to see that in an intangible way. And when they do, they're going to respond to it. And I'm going to tell you, amazing things are going to happen. So I want to wrap it up here, folks, and I want to tell you to stay the course and fight the good fight. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. No, never, ever.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, that same spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, that same spirit's going to allow these gifts to manifest in you. And we don't do it for any selfish ambition. No, folks, we do it so that we can lift Jesus up and work with him to set the captives free. That same spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in you and me, that same power. So let's lift it up and praise the Lord with Jeremy Camp. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus. Oh,